When you think cheat meal, I think like, okay, maybe I'll have a large pizza or some Chinese food or something like that.
Wait a minute, a large pizza for yourself?
Well, no, I mean like in general, I think that's what I'll order.
Yeah, you'll have as many pieces as you want of a large pizza.
Yes, exactly. Although, put me in the right mood, I could eat a large cheese pizza.
Are we talking cheat meal? Are we talking last meal? What kind of meal are we talking about?
Cheat meal. And the reason why this comes up is because Dwayne The Rock Johnson was trending because he does these elaborate cheat meals. So he trains for all these movies.
Yeah.
And he's really strict and really clean. And he posts a lot of times all the things that he's eating. So he'll show like the really clean meals that he's doing. But then he shows his cheat meal. One time when he finished filming Hercules, it was 172 days of clean eating. He had 21 pancakes, 4 large cheese pizzas, and 21 brownies. Yeah.
I mean, does he eat this in the course of a day? This is one meal?
Uh-huh. All like in front of him, he just plows through it.
Oh my gosh.
He's superhuman,
yeah.
Right?
Thinking of plowing, I mean, so is his plumber. They got to be superhuman. I mean, that's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? And I was looking at some of his other cheat meals. Like he loves sushi cheat meals.
Okay.
But it's not like, it's like if you went to a sushi buffet and it was like 27 tables of sushi and he just started at the beginning and worked his way through.
Like a conveyor belt.
Exactly.
It would just pop up and then he would have whatever. All right. So what's your cheat meal going to be? What is your cheat meal on the regular, and what would it be if, like, you know, you had trained for 180 days?
Actually, I had a cheat meal yesterday.
But you didn't train for a half a year.
No, okay, I trained for nothing.
So this is a lower level cheat meal. And what was it?
I went and I got a gyro and fries on the side with the coleslaw.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I love coleslaw on my fries.
You felt like the coleslaw was the indulgence?
Well, I feel like putting it all together. Okay. Like, you know, everything was fried and the wrap was delicious and the gyro was certainly not healthy and I enjoyed every single bite.
Is that what you would decide if it was going to be like a major reward too? Like, I mean, again, 6 months clean eating like The Rock did.
No, you have to go for a steak. You have to go for like a giant T-bone, delicious steak with cream spinach, scalloped potatoes with bacon. Start with a blue cheese salad, a bottle of Cabernet. I mean, I could, creme brulee at the end.
Okay.
That's your, like, that's your big day.
All right.
Yeah.
Pretty respectable, all of it.
You?
Well, I think for my regular cheat meal, anything where my wife isn't watching me, how much I'm getting of it, right? So steak is a good choice for me. Cheeseburgers. I mean, I'm just a sucker for fast food. If I'm allowed to have whatever I want at McDonald's, I'll get a meal plus a Big Mac. But that's nothing like all that special, you know, even though I haven't had that in 6 months at least.
Mm.
For a big one, like if I had really done the right thing for 6 to 9 months and I was dedicated and I was like, this is my ultimate cheat meal. God, what was The Rock's order? Give me 4 of those cheese pizzas.
Yeah. 12 pancakes.
No, I'll skip the pancakes, but he had 21 brownies.
Yes.
Maybe like 5 or 6 headed this way, or a box of the Hostess ones. Oh, I love those. Again, no witnesses. That's my main thing.
Anna and Raven's Pick 'em News.
3 news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Ready for your options today, Raven?
Go.
Number 1, pilot jumps out of plane without parachute.
Whew.
Authorities search for man believed to be stuck in storm drain. Deputies attempt eviction on wrong house.
You know what? I'm going to go with the pilot story. I mean, I'm fascinated by that. What is happening?
Well, here's a warning. It's sad and it's really mysterious. It feels like one of those things that you see on Dateline.
Okay.
You know, like it's only a matter of time. So a 911 call was made by air traffic control, basically suggesting that a co-pilot died after he jumped from a plane mid-flight during an emergency.
The plane took off with 2 pilots, but landed with only 1 inside.
We do have 1 subject who is not on the aircraft.
Cell number 2 jumped from the aircraft. Unknown location, did not have a parachute.
Did not have a parachute. That's how it ends. It cuts off.
I mean, that's crazy, right? I mean, your first thought is got to be like the other guy threw him out, right?
Well, 100%. So here's the thing. They say when you read all these stories, it says that the other pilot called, like when he called in, he said he was visibly shaken. And there was an issue with the landing gear. And that's why they had called in the emergency. And like they were trying to figure it out. And they say the other guy, the guy that jumped is 23 years old. His friends say like it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like he was a good pilot. He was happy life. That's what I heard.
Like, he was a pilot, he was an instructor, yes, all that stuff. So living his best life, basically enjoying himself.
And like, you know, landing gear issue, and he just jumped, and they found his body like 30 miles away from where the plane landed.
Right.
And the plane landed safely. It was a crash landing, but the other pilot was fine, minor scratches and bruises.
I mean, it's so confusing to me why. Yeah, gosh, I mean, the other guy has no explanation for it. That's the crazy thing is like, it's not like he said to him, you know, I mean, you would think if you were going to jump out of a plane, you would probably say something to somebody if there was somebody else in the plane. Whether it would make sense or not, you would say something before you did it. Gosh, I wonder, do you think that he was like opening the door to look at the wheel or something by accident and fell out?
Like, I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I just, like I said, this feels like a Dateline. Like, you know, like it's something that's got to come out, and there's going to be all these storylines and backstories.
Well, you would imagine, right? That's the thing, is they're looking into the backstory on all these people now, right? They got to be digging deeper because obviously the guy's already perished and the other person is here on the ground.
And fine.
It's a wild story.
It is a wild story. And it's like now there's all this speculation because experts are getting involved on like, well, he would have known that this wouldn't have been dire.
I mean, I think anybody would know. Anybody would know that, you know, you're not going to jump out of a plane and have a good result if you don't have a parachute.
Correct.
I mean, I think that the goal would always be, whether you were a pilot or not, try and put it down.
Well, I would think if I was him and I thought like, okay, my plane is going down, maybe this would be less painful or something like that. But given the situation that it was just landing gear and that they were able to kind of safely land it, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, so landing gear fails on planes a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. There's no happy ending to this except more mystery. I feel like this is going to be one of those podcasts, or it's definitely going to end up on some kind of TV special. So look out for that.
I look forward to more information.
Yep. It's funny how you always thought you would be different from your parents when you grow up.
Yeah, I'll never be like you, Mom and Dad.
Right.
I see what you do. There's no way I'm going to do it the same as you.
And you're exactly like them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So the same.
Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, there was things that my parents would make me do that I absolutely hated. And I could not understand like why they would make me do them.
Yeah.
But then my daughter, it's so funny because she's 13 years old. She didn't want to do any camps this summer, which I found to be, for some reason, completely unacceptable.
Why? What's wrong with you? Why would you want to do that? Right. Come on.
Like, I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to go to camp? You can go to any camp you want. You want to go to this camp? I sent you like an Excel spreadsheet of like 37 different kinds of camps that she could go to. She didn't want to go to a single one.
You can do horseback riding over here, archery over here, swimming. I mean, what's wrong with you? These are incredible options.
So finally, my best friend Danielle and I signed up our girls and we were like, you know what? You guys are going to golf. Right. And they were like, what? I was like, the two of you, you're going to golf. And they were so mad about it. That's what Karens do. Karens golf. I go, I don't care. I go, you're going to use mommy's clubs. You're going to learn how to golf because we're learning how to golf. In our perfect mom minds, the four of us will one day golf together.
Right. It'll be wonderful. You'll share anecdotes about life and love and loss and all those things. Right.
But I started thinking
Steel
about
magnolias,
it.
Steel magnolias, but on the golf courts.
When we brought them to their first lesson, it was like a clinic with a bunch of other kids. It was like they were walking to their death. It was like, like, God only knows what we were trying to make them do.
Yeah.
You know, but I remember when I was a kid, my dad wanted us to be go-kart racers.
What?
Doesn't that make no sense whatsoever?
It's the strangest thing ever. What?
He was always into like the Alfa Romeos and the Ferraris and the racing. So I guess he somehow figured that maybe we would become professional go-kart racers.
Okay.
And I remember being like 8 and terrified. Yeah. And like the first time I stood next to a go-kart, we're going back to the 80s now, it like burned my leg.
Didn't even know the safe space to stand.
No, it was awful.
I can remember, you know, when I was younger, one of the things that I dreaded was the family summer vacations. They would always go to Maine, right? Like, I enjoyed other vacations or whatever, but they would always go to Maine. My mother loves Maine. And listen, the beaches are nice. It's a beautiful enough area, but the ocean is like 30 degrees. Mm-hmm. I mean, you would run into the water. It's clearer than a lot of other places, but it's freezing. You would literally come out of the water red because it was that cold. And I can just remember dreading that. They did have an awesome arcade, though. They did.
What did your parents make you do that you just hated when you were a kid? 1-800-330-9999. Catherine.
Oh, my gosh. My parents used to always make me go to sleepaway camp for like 6 years when I was a kid. And I hated it. Absolutely hated it. They always would room me with some girl who was smelly or like stayed up super late talking. And I just wanted to go to sleep. It was just awkward.
I think there's some kids that thrive at sleepaway camp, and there's some kids that'll just never be okay with it.
No, I was kind of extroverted as a kid. And then I was just like, I'm cool by myself and everybody wants to be social and do all these things. And I'm like, I just want to hang out and take a nap in my bed. I don't know.
I kind of get what you're saying. On the other hand, like you go and it's a crapshoot, right? You don't know. Like you could go and it might be awesome if you meet that one cool friend. You might have the time of your life, but you don't know unless you go. On the other hand, when you go and you don't meet that person, it's terrible.
Right.
Yeah. You hate it. Yeah. It's, you feel miserable. You can't wait for it to be over. You're so relieved when school comes back. Oh, my God. Here's my friends.
I never went away to sleepaway anything. I don't even know what it's like. I kind of wish I had that experience at some point.
I went a couple times. Yeah. And I had both experiences.
Even though you said you weren't going to be like your parents, you probably are. But what did your parents make you do as a kid that you absolutely hated? 1-800-330-9999. Derek.
Fencing, sword fight. My parents made me take up fencing because they thought it would get me a good college scholarship. So I did fencing for 2 years.
Did it? Did it help get you into college?
No, I quit after 2 years. No, it was terrible. I hated it.
Huh.
Well, I mean, when you tell somebody that you know fencing, though, that's pretty cool sounding when you're older.
I went to a birthday party for fencing. Not me. I brought my daughter. It was a fencing birthday party.
No kidding.
And it was cool.
Yeah.
She didn't like it. My daughter didn't like it. But I wanted to also put on the stuff and hit people with those swords.
Well, that's what I'm saying is 100%. You tell me that you took fencing for 2 years. I don't care if we're 35 and we're sitting in your backyard. Where's the swords?
Right.
You're pulling those swords out. I know you still got one somewhere. I want to see it. Pull it out. Let's get busy.
That white suit is somewhere in this house with the mask, and I'm putting it on right now.
That's right. It's going to smell like whiskey tomorrow. Let's go.
Courtney, what did your parents make you do when you were a kid that you hated?
So I'm a twin, and my mom always made me and my twin sister wear the exact same outfits everywhere we went, always. And it was really, really annoying.
I think I would hate that. I think I would.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that I would like it some days. And then some other days, I would really, really, really detest it.
I love matching outfits. Like, it's my favorite. But I wonder, like, I like it as an adult, you know, like,
sure.
To match with my family for, like, the holiday shoots and things like that. I just think it's
fun.
But
you get the choice.
Yeah.
Right.
I wonder if I was a kid, if my mom did that, how I would feel.
And if you were a twin. I mean,
right.
Think of all you're sharing already.
Yes.
That's the thing. I think that some people are into that. And I think that there's a lot of people that wouldn't be. And probably at different times in your life, it's different, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would just say to any parent of twins out there, like, ask them. Be like, do you guys want to dress the same? You know, you can ask them if they want to. And some twins love that and some don't. And I just think, you know, by the time they're 2-3 years old, you can ask them what they want. And if they want their bedspreads to be the same and everything the exact same, carbon copy.
Fair enough.
I get it.
David, what did your parents make you do when you were a kid that you hated?
Yeah, I'm an only child. I'm sort of embarrassed to say that. They wouldn't leave me home alone, so they would drag me to these dinner parties with their old friends, and I'd have to try to make conversation, or I don't know. It was just so awkward, and then be in someone else's house and not mess anything up, and hated it.
That doesn't sound fun. You know what's worse when you're the only child and then your parents try and set you up with another kid, right? Uh-huh. We're going to go see my friends over here. Oh, you'll like them. They've got a kid just about your age. They're like 2 years older, so they're beating the hell out of you in the backyard. Or they're like 2 years younger, so they're boring the hell out of you inside. Yeah, it's not a fun day.
I'm guilty of this because, you know, Hayden, my older daughter, is 10 years older than my toddler. For the first 10 years, she was an only child. So we took her everywhere. But I also credit, like, the reason why she's so well behaved in, you know, like, nice restaurants and, like, she knows how to behave around adults and all that is because she was always around them because we took her everywhere.
Well, nice. I mean, just for the sacrifice of her childhood. But,
well,
you know.
I think she loved it. I think she loved it. But now I wonder, you know? You said you were never going to be like your parents. You were never going to make your kids do things that they made you do. But guess what? You do.
Yeah, every day.
What was the thing that you absolutely hated doing as a kid that your parents forced you to do? 1-800-330-9999. Roseanne.
Oh, my God. Play with dolls. I was a tomboy, and I had an older brother. He got to play all the cool stuff, and I got stuck playing with dolls. I hate dolls.
You know what? I never considered that.
It.
And I think that happened to a lot of kids, right? You try to redirect their interests, And they just want to do what they want to do. Oh, let them do what they want to do.
Right. Anthony, what did your parents make you do as a kid that you hated?
They made me go to church every Sunday and after school church stuff on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. I absolutely hated it, and I am a atheist now.
Listen, my mom used to do this. She would go through these things where all of a sudden we'd get our spirituality up. We'd get our religion up, all right, in the family. We would go, and it would be intense. We'd go every Sunday, and then we'd have to go to Sunday school after and all that stuff. Like all of a sudden, like, we had been doing it our whole lives. It was like she didn't want us to tell people that we were, like, kind of starting over. And then we would go for a couple of months, and then we would stop going, and then we would not go for, like, 2 years, and then we would start at another church. Like, I didn't get it.
Well, you're asking, like, the wrong person, because look what I do. My mom did it to me, and I do it to my kids. We go to church. You go to everything you're supposed to be at. You go to CCD. You do whatever. Yep.
We were just trying on religion. I don't know if she was into different choirs or what, but, I mean, seriously, Mom.
Bella, what did your parents make you do that you hated as a kid?
My mom made me wipe all the baseboards with a soapy wet rag. And I was like, who even looks at the baseboards? Nobody. Mm-hmm. Even to this day, I feel like people don't look at the baseboards. So why?
What was the hardest chore you had when you were younger, Anna?
Well, it wasn't so much that it was the hardest chore. It was just that I had to do all the chores because I was the oldest. I had to clean my room, my brother's room, and my sister's room. So it was always annoying because if I wanted to go to the mall and I needed her to drop me off, I had to go and I had to clean all of our rooms. But the thing is that when you have Italian parents, they've got this thing, the finger test. Did I ever tell you the finger test?
No.
So how the finger test works is that you have to dust with the pledge, right? And you have to Windex all the windows and all that stuff in the glass and the mirrors. But what they would do is you would kind of just go around the doilies and, like, the religious figures.
Of course, of course.
But she would take the finger, her pointer finger, and she would go in, like, obscene little corners where it, like, that you wouldn't normally just kind of skip over. And she would do a quick swipe right across. Then she would hold it up to the window light. And if there was any dust on her finger, you were not allowed to go to the mall or the movie theater or anything that you wanted to do.
Until what age did you have to clean your siblings' room?
42.
No. What age were they?
No, forever, until I went to college.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's amazing that you're here.
And you ever, like, growing up as an Italian child and being the oldest girl, like, you, it's like you're Cinderella.
I was going to say, it's amazing that you made it here.
That's why I hate cleaning so much now. I swear, that is why.
I ran pretty good for one slipper.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 If you go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and the waiter keeps questioning how much food you order, that's all I need to know about you.
Mind your business, waiter, right? Aren't we here to eat all of it? You don't get to take it home if it doesn't get eaten, right?
There's this all-you-can-eat sushi place that's not far from me, and I meet one of my good friends there with her kids. Maybe every other month it's our place. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but since the pandemic, they don't do the buffet anymore.
Yeah.
Now you have to, like, fill out a form, and they bring it to you.
Right. You have to order, and then they keep going back and get it. I can't stand it when an all-you-can-eat place makes you do that.
Right. So now it's like all of a sudden they're like, you ordered 9 rolls. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like 10. That's right. I'd like the 10th. Bring me the order of the 10th.
There's 6 of us and we're really hungry. And we're probably going to order more too. And and then she kept saying, like, and then you know what she said? For all the extra you don't eat, we charge $8.99 a pound for takeout. And I'm like, listen, lady, I'm going to eat it. There's no question about it.
Like, what you're charging on your end is not my problem. That's your business, right? You put the all-I-can-eat sign up here on the front of the building, and I walked in anticipating eating all that I could eat.
There was 4 pieces left on the thing. I was like, guys, we can't. We have to. Somebody has to eat these. Right. I left there feeling almost nauseous.
Don't leave them.
I had to prove my point.
Oh, my gosh. You know what's the worst is when you're, like, at, like, Olive Garden or something, you're doing never-ending pasta, and you have to reorder, but they take 45 minutes to bring it out.
Yes.
So now they're trying to pace you so that you're not hungry anymore. We all know that the second or third bowl that I order of that pasta is going right into a takeout thing. So why don't you just speed up the entire process and bring it out right away?
I know. Right.
Man.
Yeah. Maria, that's all I need to know about you.
If you're one of those people that slow down to look at the accident on the other side of the highway, that's all I need to know about you.
Rubbernecking.
Yeah, the person that just slows down too when they see lights on the other side of the highway, right? So they somebody's being pulled over on the other side of the highway. The cop is not going to leave the person he already has pulled over, jump the highway, and then come over and pull us over. So what are you doing? Why are you standing on your brakes? Just keep moving.
Here's the thing about rubbernecking. When you've been in traffic for a long time, because it's a crash on the other side, right? Mm. At that point, you feel like you've paid your dues, that you also deserve to see what's happening. And I've grappled with this in my head, because I understand in theory that if we all just keep going,
right,
there wouldn't have been all that traffic that backed us up. At this point, it's like 25 minutes, and it's like, now I want to see too. What are everybody looking at? Right or no?
I mean, morally, no. Human nature, okay. Mm.
Jack, that's all I need to know about you.
If you shoot guns up into the air for a celebration, like on New Year's or 4th of July or something like that, that's all I need to know about you.
It's scary.
Bro, where do you live? Are you in Tijuana? Where are you? Like, seriously? That's not cool.
You know, you'd be shocked, man. You'd be shocked what people do.
Oh, man, well, you know, it's gravity. What goes up must come down.
That's
dangerous. Better get somebody a hard hat or something around there.
Well, that's definitely all I need to know about you. You're right.
Courtney, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you're one of those guys that leans in for a hug and hugs just a little bit too long, that's all I need to know about you.
Creeper. Everybody knows that guy.
You know, like, you want to be deep and thoughtful, but how long is too long?
You'll know. You feel it immediately.
Yeah.
When you go to back up and they hold you in closer, that's too long.
Okay, yeah, that one I think I would pick up on that one.
Yeah,
right. You're right. That seems right. Obvious.
At any time, if they rest their head on your shoulder, it's not going well.
No, I need out of here if that happens.
So this is in the news.
The FAA starting a fact-finding mission from the public to establish a minimum standard for seat size, a subject essentially unregulated since the 70s.
I mean, the one thing we know is that the seat sizes on planes are very, very small.
Yeah, it's just gotten smaller and smaller. But this is interesting. You know what? So when you brought this up to me yesterday, I didn't realize that they were actually just they're talking about regulating this. So usually the FAA like makes a decision. And then they put out what they call like an update or whatever. And it's really a recommendation. The airlines don't necessarily have to follow these things most of the time.
Yeah.
So this is different. That sounds like that's a little bit different. Like they're going to change a regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. We have people getting bigger and the seats getting smaller. And if people are being squeezed and squeezed and squeezed.
I mean, it's true. Think about the last time you got on a plane. I mean, I would say I'm average for a woman size. I'm average size. And when I sit there, all I keep thinking is, like, my hips are right up against, like, both sides.
Yeah.
Like, anybody that is a little bit bigger, like, how do you fit in that seat? It's almost demoralizing in a lot of ways.
It's really uncomfortable. And, you know, the other thing is, like, the other seat is right in front of you. So, you know, all your attention, I don't care if you're somebody that gets claustrophobic or not, but, you know, all your attention is accelerated and amped up that, you know, you're in a tight spot.
This week, the FAA hopes to start seeking comment from passengers about the minimum dimensions of passenger seats necessary for safety.
So I thought that was interesting. So what they're doing, it's a 3-month period for the public to weigh in on the size of the seats on airplanes, and then they're going to establish this minimum standard. Do you really need 3 months for people to tell you that the seats are too small?
What's amazing here is, though, like, legally, they're opening this up for everybody to do this, but you know what will happen is over 3 months, Eight people are gonna submit an answer, right? And 3 of them will be handwritten letters that go to the wrong mailbox somewhere because nobody does this when they're given the opportunity. Nobody goes to public hearings. They just don't show up.
Well, here's the thing. Everybody, okay, ready? Raise your hand right now if you think the airplane seats are too small. Raise your hand.
Right.
Raise your hand.
Right.
Yep. Thank you, everybody. You know what? We're good. Yes, please make them a little bit bigger. Give us back a couple inches so we can feel better about ourselves and not be sitting on the person next to us. But I was thinking, Raven, we should take these 3-month period where the FAA is taking suggestions and open it up to everything they could fix on the plane.
Anything that they could fix on the plane whatsoever.
Yeah, like if they're listening to us, let them listen to us.
Yeah.
What else needs to be fixed on the plane besides the fact that the seats are too small?
Well, I need to fix the fact that somebody always wants to stop and have a conversation with the flight attendant when you're boarding onto the plane. Everybody is standing on the gateway trying to get onto the plane. And this person wants to talk to them about, where's the best place for me to eat when I go into this town? The flight attendant doesn't know. They fly in and out of the town that you are going to 4 times a day. They don't actually go there and hang out. They don't live there.
Mm-hmm.
Move on with your life.
I want to complain and issue a formal complaint about the overhead compartment.
Okay.
Because everybody goes in there and then they immediately shove all their stuff in there.
Yeah.
And you can never, if you're the last boarding person.
Yes.
What are you supposed to do? Now you have to sit 7,000 feet away from your luggage that's mm-hmm. over your overhead compartment. And then you can't get up because you have to have your seatbelt the whole time. You don't know what's going on 7 miles away with your stuff.
Well, you know how they fix that?
How?
They actually do the job at the gate and make sure that people only board during the group that they're actually supposed to board in. Because this is a problem every time I go to get on a plane. Like, you're trying to go on a vacation or something nice, and you get there, and it's just all so tense. They're calling gate number, 29, and they want group number 2 there, but everybody on the plane gets up at once and goes to the gate. Come on.
Here's the thing. If the FAA wants to hear your opinion, let's give it to them. What would you change on a plane? 1-800-330-9999. The FAA is beginning a 3-month period for the public to weigh in on the size of seats on airplanes because they want to establish a minimum standard. As if they need 3 months for us to tell them the seats are too small, make them bigger, please.
Yeah, I mean, the seats are small. But you know what? That's not the only problem with the seats too, Anna. Like, how about the angle of the seats?
Mm.
Like, you get in the seat and it feels like it's leaning you forward.
So upright.
Or it's... Right. Like, yes. There's no angle to it whatsoever. It's miserable. And then people get upset that you recline or whatever. Like, I need to. My back doesn't work that way.
If you're going to take 3 months to listen to the public talk about the seats, you know what? We're going to chime in. So we're going to talk about all the things that should be changed on a plane. We asked around the office what should be changed.
Better snacks. Better drinks. More drinks. Something good. A steak? An actual good steak?
Can you imagine all of a sudden they start serving you filet?
You're never going to get a good steak on a plane. I mean, there's not a kitchen. There's a microwave.
But they could probably figure out a pizza. Would it be so hard to get a pizza over here? An Elio's? Something?
Yeah. I mean, I got to tell you, the last time I did have a meal on a plane, it was actually pretty good. But I had like 6 Tito's and... Yeah.
Right. It wasn't good. It was the 16th.
I mean, it might have been. It could have been.
You should just have like open seating, lounge chairs, couches. Just I hate sitting in the seat, locked in the seat.
Should be lounges.
Yeah. That's so 12 people want the same chair in one corner of the plane. Uh-huh. I don't know about that one, man. He's thinking like the 70s where there's a bar upstairs.
I want to be able to take a nap. So maybe, I don't know. Lay me down.
Good. Yep.
So I did actually see this, that there's some airlines that are considering putting in bunk beds
yes.
in the back in certain spots. And I've always wanted to take an international flight just so that I can get on one that's long enough that they have the lie flat seats.
Yeah.
Oh, those look awesome.
Honestly, if you could open windows, that would be so nice. I know you can't. That's obviously not a thing. But if you could, just get a nice little fresh air in there, moving around, that would be really nice.
Does anybody trust a plane that you can open the windows?
I don't trust that person. Whoever that person is, I want to know who that is from the office because I'm never getting on a plane with them.
I feel like it's so stinky. I feel like it's too stuffy in there.
Well, they have those vents, but the truth of the matter is those vents never work. They're either full blowing you in the face at 100 miles per hour, or they're doing absolutely nothing. There's never like a medium for them to work correctly.
Well, I mean, it's recycled air. So either way, so if the plane stinks, it's going to continue to stink throughout that. It's not going to change that.
Karina, what would you change on a plane?
I think we should get bigger tables because there's never enough room for everything.
But you bring a lot of stuff, huh? Like, a lot of stuff?
No, it's like, we just need bigger tables for things.
So you could then bring more stuff.
An iPad, 3 stuffed animals, iPhone.
Okay. Right.
A Coca-Cola.
All the necessary stuff.
Hey, Brandy, what should they fix on the plane?
The seatbelt length. I sat next to a person. I felt so bad for her. She brought her own seatbelt extender so she could fit the buckle around her.
Wow.
Yeah, that's screwed up.
It is.
On the other hand, I don't need 3 extra feet of seatbelt if I'm, smaller size, too. So maybe they should just be ready with the extensions. But, the seat should be a realistic size in general.
They should also clean the seatbelts. Remember that one time when Dakota was sucking on the seatbelt because I took my eyes off her for 1 second?
That's disgusting.
And I wanted to die.
Ew.
Yeah.
If we're correcting things on planes, if we could correct flight attendant behavior, that would be good, too.
Why?
They're confrontational, man. Mm-hmm. They are. Don't act like they're not. They're confrontational.
Maybe
now.
Just with you. I think it's your tone of voice. I never have a problem.
My tone of voice. Okay.
You fought the law and you lost. Usually when you like fight a ticket or something like that, you assume to get off or get like something shorter. Nope, not the case. My cousin was all excited because she had got a speeding ticket and she was certain certain that when she showed up in court and she explained what had happened and why there was some kind of mistake or whatever, that she was going to get let off.
I mean, they tell you that, honestly, the reasoning, the judge doesn't care about your excuse, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything is a lie. You got to figure that all day long they're seeing people come in and they're telling the same stories with a little bit of variation. It's really the same stories and the same characters they see every day. So you don't think they're going to get anywhere. The main thing is you're told that if you show up, you're going to get some sort of reduction anyway.
Yeah, and she didn't. Right? Usually, like, the cops don't even show up. And then, like, you know, we get whatever settlement or however it's called.
Right. It's some sort of negotiation, some sort of arbitration somewhere in the middle, right? A fine or something like that.
But I was laughing because she was telling me about it. And she was all annoyed and she had to pay and all that. But I was like, remember, Raven, when I got that speeding ticket?
Oh, man.
We fought it. And for some reason, Raven and I decided that we were going to fight it together and that he was going to come with me to court and that he was going to, like, help me fight the ticket.
Well, you hadn't really had any experience fighting the tickets before, and suffice to say, I had a lot.
Right.
So, you know, and at my court, it always worked a certain way, and so we figured we had a good plan. We talked to experts.
Right.
We talked to police officers. We talked to attorneys, everything like that. We felt well-equipped when we went in.
It was my first time ever fighting a ticket in court. It was a speeding ticket that I had gotten. Raven is by my side. We were so prepared. We walked in. This woman was
the prosecutor.
She was so abrasive.
Oh my God, she was so mean.
Yeah. And they called us in after we had been waiting. And we go in, and I'm all confident, and I have my notes and everything. And Raven walks in with me.
You wore a blazer.
I did.
I wore a button up shirt.
It was a big deal. The woman turns to Raven and says, "Who are you?"
Right.
And Raven's like, "Oh, I'm with her." And she looked at him and she said, "Get out."
Right. Now, I don't need you here. She kicked me out so fast. I ran so fast.
He didn't even put up a fight. He just turned around and left me there. He left me there. He turned around and walked right out the door. And I was like a deer in headlights. I was like, oh.
She turned around like there was some sort of, you know, possessive. Like, she had this power and this energy. She was scary,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
She was scary. It was like Poltergeist. She was scary.
Needless to say, I wrote a check before I left there.
Right.
I fought the law and I lost. And I blame Raven to this day for it.
You know what, man? I gotta confess, like, I mean, I've always done better than that. I was never so terrified. It wasn't even my name on the ticket. I was so terrified.
Did you ever fight the law and you lost?
Hmm.
What happened? 1-800-330-9999. My cousin got a speeding ticket, went to court to fight it, and she lost. She had to pay, which happened to me and Raven, too. Raven came with me to fight a ticket one time. They kicked him out of the room, and he ran. He ran with his tail in between his legs.
Well, you know why I ran, Anna? Because I've had other incidences where I was up against the back, with my back against the wall, with the law, and I lost. Like when I was in Cancun, beautiful place, island of paradise or peninsula of paradise. You're out there enjoying yourself, having a good time. A little disagreement at our hotel. And then I was dragged out of the lobby by the federales and put in a cell that had no roof on it in Cancun. By the way, there's no roof on the Cancun jail, if you're ever wondering.
Al, what happened to you?
Okay, so this is the deal. It was a red light camera. I was going straight on a road, major road. And then I saw it turned red. So I went to the right-hand lane, which is a green turning arrow. And I made a right and I got a ticket in the mail. I actually took the day off at work, dressed up in a suit. I went to the courts. And by the way, my brothers and sisters are police officers.
Mm.
And I asked them to look at the video. And they said, "You didn't go through a red light, but you did cross over a single white line. That's 2 points on your license and a higher fee." Says, "Well, I have jurisdiction over several counties. And I find you guilty." And he slammed down his hammer. And needless to say, I was writing a check at the end of that day, too.
Man, you got an angry judge. Right.
Fought the law and you lost.
Right. So.
I mean, his brother and sister couldn't get him out of that. Rob, you fought the law and lost. What happened?
Well, one time when I was a bit younger, I was trying to save some money by getting a five-finger discount. I left the store with a prepackaged sandwich and a Diet Coke. And as I left, somebody stopped me. They called the police. And I said, "Oh, you know, I just forgot. I put it in my pocket and I walked out." But then they pulled up the video camera and you can see me looking left, right, sticking it all the way down my pants and then walking extremely quickly towards the exit. So I was not very smooth.
I mean, I don't even feel bad for you.
Right.
Am I supposed to?
Dude, how old were you? Right. I mean, if you were 11, that's one thing. I mean, if you were 19, that's totally something else.
You stole a ham sandwich and a Diet Coke.
I was old enough. Right. I was hungry.
What's the punishment for that? Do they call the police?
That's larceny.
What happened?
Larceny 6, if they want.
I had to do a bunch of community service, and I was in jail for the night.
Julia, you fought the law and lost. What happened?
So I got a moving violation when I was driving, and I knew I wasn't in the wrong. So I went, I took the day off. I went to the court, and the judge let me off. So I didn't know that when you go to court, you still have to pay court fees. So even though I got off on the ticket, I still had to end up paying money to the court for being seen that day, which I thought was so stupid. To this day, I think is stupid.
I didn't even know that either.
Yeah, typically when you win, I think you were fine. The judge would have to say, you know, nolly, but with court fees. I mean, it's strange that I know all these things about this. But either way, right. It does feel like a loss, right?
Right.
And then you're like, I had to pay and park on top of it.
Yeah.
Bailey, you fought the law and lost. What happened?
I went to an appeals court trying to fight the taxes that were on my house, and I lost.
Yeah, they don't listen for anything at the city hall. In my town either. They don't care. You go in, you got all these photos, you got different reasons that your taxes shouldn't go up, the assessment shouldn't go up this year, and they're just like, yeah, we'll get back to you in 3 days. Rejected.
They didn't even look at it.
No.
They're just like, nope, these are your taxes now. Pay them.
That's it, right? Yeah. Put your gold in this bucket over here. It's exactly what happens. It's a terrible feeling.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Denise and Tim. Denise, what's going on?
Hey. So I'm getting married, and I'm also a social media influencer, mostly Instagram, some TikTok. And for the wedding, I'm in charge of, you know, like, pretty much everything. And one of the biggest things that I thought would be a great money saver, but also a money maker, is having some endorsements, you know, like trying to get some local breweries and food trucks and having like some pop-up tents to, you know, cut corners a little bit on some of the drinks and beverages, because we're doing like open bar kind of thing. And Tim is just not about it.
What's up, Tim? You don't want to save money?
Well, this is what I'll tell you. You know, Denise is, she's got this little side thing that she's doing, and, you know, I've been supportive of it. It's annoying. Just constantly taking pictures. Oh, let's take a picture of, you know, whatever, you know, at the park. And, you know, here, take a picture of me, you know, jumping in the pool and slow motion. And it's just, it's really annoying. And so I figured, you know, like a sacred event. I don't want to sit around with, you know, pose with energy drinks and, you know, try to make little funny videos on my wedding day. You know, this is something that that I think is it's a solemn event that we should cherish.
I don't know if solemn's the word. I think it would be a little bit more celebratory, but I think I know what you're saying, right? I mean, you don't want to be, oh, pose here, stand with this here, do this here if it's your wedding day. I mean, at the very least, I guess you could have somebody kind of handling that for you while you're doing it, but it's still going to feel like you're selling out, right, Anna?
No.
No?
Crazy? No. I mean, I get it. I understand. I don't see what the big deal is. Like, if you can get some kind of financial reward or get some money saved because you're holding, like, a glass of wine from a brewery down the street and you're, you know, and you're on your Instagram, why wouldn't you do that? Like, it doesn't seem strange to me. It seems very 2022.
Well, it just seems to me like if that type of stuff is going to take up a couple hours, mom is just going to be sad on the sideline. Wow, I thought I'd share this beautiful day with the two of you, but guess not. Because I'm not holding a shady lemonade that was brewed from Jim's something down the road.
It's the thing is that it's not some kind of refined hold up a glass, because it's always some hammy thing that she needs to do, you know, for her Instagram or whatever. And it's like, look, I don't want to ham it up on my wedding day.
You always ham it up for the camera on your wedding day, and it's going to give us an opportunity to save money. Weddings are really expensive, and if we get some free stuff out of it, what's the big deal?
I've noticed lately that even influencers that only have, like, and I shouldn't say only, but like 7,000 or 8,000 followers are getting endorsements, and they're getting like free stuff, and they're making money off it. And I don't know if you can do it. Like, I'm not hating on you. Let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Denise. What's the big deal? If you could save a few bucks and just hold up a can or two or whatever on your wedding day, then just go for it. But they may see Tim's side, too, that it's just tacky. And a day like your wedding day shouldn't be sold out.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Would you want an influencer wedding? Denise and Tim are getting married, and Denise is a social media influencer. She's got an Instagram, a TikTok. She gets money for the endorsements that she does for them. So she's been offered some endorsements for her wedding day, and she thinks it's a great idea. Doesn't take much time. It's easy. They get money. They need money.
Tim says it's a terrible idea. I don't want any of this stuff going on during our wedding. I don't want to see pop-up tents there. I definitely don't want to be told to pose and hold up some sort of energy drink or anything else that I really don't care about. This is our wedding day. This is about celebrating together.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Pam, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. That is the one day that you should just focus on your wedding and your wife and your husband, your family, and never mind the money. Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, you go to work, you're going to owe somebody money for something anyways. You know, lessening the bill certainly can be helpful, that's for sure. But, you know, if it's just going to make you feel dirty or it's just going to make you feel like it was cheapened, then you got to take that into account.
Here's the problem. It's her job and not his job.
Right.
So she is used to it. She knows what to do. To her, it's second nature. For him, he sees it as an inconvenience, but he's the one that's not familiar with it, which is the bigger problem here.
It's okay for him to hate it, even if it's her job.
Right.
Right.
But but he shouldn't tell her not to do it. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. What do you think about selling endorsements to your wedding? Sounds kind of shady when you say it out loud like that, but Denise and Tim are getting married. I don't think it's a big deal. Denise is an influencer. She's got a lot of followers on TikTok and Instagram. She makes a little extra money on the side doing it. She's gotten a couple offers to be able to like post pictures of her holding things on her wedding day and get paid for it. And she doesn't see what the big deal is.
I love that. Any statement that you make that says sounds kind of shady on the surface, it's kind of shady in general. There's a reason why it sounds that way. I mean, listen, this is an industry thing. People that work in that industry have absolutely no problem with that. People that don't want to do that. And think about, you know, your wedding is a busy day. You're being pulled in 1,000 other directions. You're celebrating, but there's a certain amount of tension for the bride and groom, too, because you're busy. You have things to do. Stopping over at somebody's, you know, stand to take a photo and talk about their product doesn't seem like something I want to do on my wedding day.
Well, that's what Tim says. What do you think? Who do you think is right here? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm on her side. Nowadays, everything's expensive. You might as well try to save money. But that all those photos are going to be on Instagram and Facebook anyway. So why not build that relationship with that local brewery or something? Because that might be a job opportunity for her later on.
On the one hand, though, a lot of weddings that I go to now, the bride and groom explicitly, there's signage all over the place that they don't want any of their photos on social media before they've actually put up their own photos. So they tell guests, don't put any photos up. And for the most part, guests tend to follow those rules if they know.
I guess. So what's the difference if you're holding a beer and you can smile with it and get paid $100?
I mean, again, are you going to take the time to look over every image before somebody else puts it up? I don't know.
Hey, Sue, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. I think that marriage is a partnership and we have to make compromises, and this is going to be the first compromise because he doesn't want it, and you don't want him thinking back on his wedding day being resentful.
Thank you for the call.
That's what the marriage is for, all the resentment.
Some people, yeah, it's second nature to take photos, post them, and do endorsements or anything like that. Other people, it makes them incredibly anxious. They don't want any part of it.
Hey, Kim, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side. You're going to have fun at your wedding regardless, and I think it's really cheap and tacky to be promoting yourself on social media and having vendors running around with pop-up tents and everything. It's supposed to be a beautiful remembering moment of your life, and that's just ridiculous and very selfish on her behalf. He sounds like he's annoyed with what she does to begin with.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Tim, our audience agreed with you. Tacky, I'm sorry, Denise. I mean, I'm with you, but ultimately they felt like if it's his wedding day too, and if he doesn't want to do it, then you can't do it.
I mean, I get it. We're going to have beautiful photos anyway. Maybe I'll just put them up on Instagram after, but, you know, I won't tag an ad for anybody. It's fine.
You got to be happy about that, Tim?
I'll be deliriously happy, and I'm glad, Denise, that we're going to finally step away from your influencer life just for one stinking day. Okay?
Well, congratulations on that, guys.
If you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven Cash jackpot is $900 thanks to Sherwin-Williams. Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 35% on paints and stains with sale prices starting at $27.29 now through August 8th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See stores for details. Okay, Christine, you ready to play?
I sure am.
All right, can you ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Christine.
Okay. So we have $900 on the table. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in, ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Okay, number one, Euphoria star Sydney Sweeney caused controversy when she said in an interview that she doesn't make enough money from acting to be able to take an extended break. Euphoria is on what network?
Netflix.
Number two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson has become famous for his cheat meals, including one time when he ate 12 pancakes, 4 large pizzas, and 21 brownies after training for 172 days for the movie Hercules. Spell Hercules.
H-E-R-C-U-L-E-S.
Number three, Chrissy Teigen reveals she's pregnant again after suffering a miscarriage 2 years ago. She has 2 children with what GOAT winner?
John Legend.
Number four, pumpkin spice Oreos are back starting on the 15th this month. Oreos are an imitation of what original cream-filled sandwich cookie?
Hydrox.
And number five, a Disney guest posted a viral video saying that they were stuck on a boat on It's a Small World ride for 45 minutes. Finish the next line of the opening lyrics. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes.
Oh, my gosh. I have no. It's a small world after all.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
3 out of 5 for Christine.
Not terrible. Not great, though. Let's see how I do, Christine.
Number one, Euphoria star Sydney Sweeney caused controversy when she said in an interview that she does not make enough money from acting to be able to take an extended break.
Yeah.
Euphoria is on what network?
It's on HBO.
Yes. Number two, Dwayne The Rock Johnson became famous for his cheat meals, including one time when he ate 12 pancakes, 4 pizzas, and 21 brownies after training 172 days for Hercules.
It's mind-blowing.
Spell Hercules.
H-E-R-C-U-L-E-S.
Yes. Number three, Chrissy Teigen reveals she's pregnant again after suffering a miscarriage 2 years ago. She has 2 children with what GOAT winner?
John Legend.
Yes. You guys are tied at 3. Number four, pumpkin spice Oreos are back starting on the 15th this month. Oreos are an imitation of what original cream-filled sandwich cookie?
Was Hydrox the first cookie? But I was thinking like a moon pie. I guess I'll say moon pie.
No, Hydrox.
Well, people
always think that Hydrox ripped off Oreos. It's the other way around.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Oreo does it better.
Number five, a Disney guest posted a viral video saying that they were stuck on a boat on the It's a Small World ride for 45 minutes.
Oh, no.
Finish the next line of the opening lyrics. It's a world of laughter, a world of tears. It's a world of hopes.
And a world of fears?
And a world of fears, yep.
I mean, it rhymes.
Yep. I'm sorry, Christine. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
All right. This is Christine, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $1,000 tomorrow, Anna.